May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on March 4th?
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
We are now on to PCR 26-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on March 4th?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Bid 2024-385, street improvements.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Kristy Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to award the bid for street improvements to J.R. Venegro and T. Maiozzi in the amount of $4 million for a one-year period expiring April 24th, 2025.
Thank you, Kristy. Are there any questions for this bid and members of this committee or comments? Councilman Gebhardt.
So these are two of the bidders that won last year. I think two out of the three. Is that right?
Maiozzi is, Venegro is new. But they just, from what I understand, assumed Cardi's assets.
I see. Okay. And how did the paving program go this year?
It went well. We spent just under $5 million. $4,917,355.52.
Wow. Okay. Great. And so are you complete on the spending authority from last year's bid? The contract is running out.
Yeah, this is a new contract, so it's a new award with monies that we have allocated to us.
Okay, great. And do you anticipate the same kind of success on this bid of using almost all of it, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are going to certainly try our hardest to get as much done as we can.
Okay, great. Any learnings from having the more than one vendor? Did it go pretty well?
It's nice to have more than one vendor, simply because you can do obviously more than one area at a time. The only thing with, vendors is we try to, or not we, I should say engineering, tries to give the vendors work where they bid lower. So if it was just a mill and overlay and, you know, one vendor's lower than another by $10 a ton, then they disperse the work that way.
Okay. Got it. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Kristy, I have a quick question. So the bonds that I think I pretty much know the answer, but the bonds that was approved some years ago for repaving, that's been utilized. Obviously, I know a lot of the roads that I'm driving on normally are now smooth. This is to continue on projects and areas that may have not had the opportunity to get repaired in the past.
Yeah, so we do have about $88,000 left in that infrastructure bond that you're referring to.
Thank you.
These funds are from ARPA, from the reimbursements from the gas company for the roads that they've disturbed, as well as the allocation that we receive from DOT.
Perfect. Thank you. And the other thing is there were no, I'm using the wrong term as the councilman was talking. I was trying to remember, we had a problem with penny bids. There were no penny bids?
No, we don't accept penny bids.
Okay, thank you. We still don't, that's still the process, even though the company that had a habit is no longer on the bid list.
It is specifically written into that they may not be considered if they do that. And I haven't seen the last two bid cycles that we've had with this that we haven't had any penny bids.
Thank you. Questions from members of the council. Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Good evening, Kristy.
Good evening.
I was pleased to see the multiple bidders. I know it's a little more, you know, sometimes with the payments and everything to having the multiple bidders. But as we have seen, you know, if we had just gone with one company, something could come up and then, you know, all our work gets delayed. So I think that's a really good precedent that we started a couple years ago, having multiple bidders. So if one company's working in some other part of the state, we can get the other one in there to do the work. And also on the bond, this is how things have changed. I believe when we bonded that, it was like less than 1% interest when that came. Imagine if we could get that again today.
Yeah.
on that. So no, I'm pleased that you had the number. Councilman Gephardt already asked the question I was asked about how much paving we did this year. I believe we've been hitting the roads, and I think we've been paving more than ever before. So
yes, we certainly have.
Yeah. So great work, and to you and your team, and keep up the good work, because we know this is what we hear. This is what we hear about. So, and then once we get the roads paved, the next thing we'll hear about is speeding on the roads.
Yes, so, now they're paved. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. President. Are there any other questions, comments from members of this council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Christy, I know Councilman Gephardt asked the question about how much was done with the paving, but do you have a dollar amount as to what we spent on paving so far this year?
For this fiscal year?
Uh-huh.
I don't have that. The $4,917,355.52 is from the period of invoices that were paid from January of 23 to December of 23.
So most of the budget that was approved has been used or will be used up by the end of this year, fiscal year?
We'll do our best to utilize whatever we can under the current contract, and then we transfer to, as of April 25th, we have a new contract in place. So then we'll start drawing off the, if approved, with the $4 million that we're asking for.
And I will state that in the past, I was not always in favor of multiple vendors. As a matter of fact, there was a period of time when I was against multiple vendors. Recently, I have been in favor of that for the obvious reasons, but particularly with this one. And you made a point in answering Councilman Gephardt that you're able to do more paving with multiple vendors. And in this case, because the bids have come in so close between the two companies, I can see where you'd want to use them simultaneously to just keep pumping out that work. These bids are really close. And I think that was a good job. So once again, go to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments? Thank you, Christy. Next on the... Oh, I apologize. Yes, thank you. Are there any comments from members of the public? Comments, questions from members of the public? Thank you, Christy. Next is bid 2024-080. This is HVAC services for city-owned buildings. Christy, and I believe you did contact me and request an amendment.
I did. First of all, I'd like to amend the requested increase on this. We were requesting $70,000. I'd actually like to amend that another $15,000 for a total of $85,000.
Thank you. Okay, you wanted to open up with the statement?
Yes, so we have...
I'm sorry. That's why you told me earlier. I apologize. May I have an open PCR? That's okay. Thank you. So bid 2024-080 is now PCR 27-24. Christy, I apologize. Please continue.
Quite all right. The reason we're requesting an additional $15,000 at this point is on Friday, I received 10 invoices from this vendor. We had already had a couple that we were holding for payment because we needed to come before the council to make this request. And there are also two quotes that we have from this vendor for some work to be done. So all told, it's around $50,000 for all of that, including the two quotes that we have, which is the reason why I'm asking for an additional $15,000 on top of the 70. This bid doesn't expire until August 29th this year, and I'm sure air conditioning season is not going to be kind to us.
Thank you. Are there any questions, comments from members of this committee? Are there any questions, comments for members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Christie, you said that there's a couple of bids that you've just received that are a lot higher. What do you mean by?
No.
What?
I received invoices. So we have invoices that we need to pay and two quotes for work that needs to be done.
So what is higher than what you anticipated?
Originally, with this request, I requested $70,000, and I notified the chair today that I was going to amend it on the floor to ask for $85,000. That was the increase.
No, I thought you had said that invoices or bids or something, they had increased from what they were in August.
No, this bid doesn't expire until August. So we're going to still need services from this vendor until August 29th for any HVAC issues that we have. Right now, between the invoices that I have and the two quotes that I have, it's about $50,000. So that will essentially wipe out what I'm asking for this evening, which is why I asked for another $15,000.
So why are we so far off? Initially, you came to us for $80,000. We're 6 months into it, and now you're looking for $5,000 more than we originally approved, more than double what the original budget was. Why is it so far off?
Well, we estimate what we think we might need in expenses for HVAC issues, but you know, it's much like a car repair. You can't predict when something's going to fail, and you can't predict how badly it might fail. So aside from the fact that this department is responsible for the 9 fire stations, all the other city buildings, Pilgrim Senior Center, police station, this building, the ice rinks, the pool. I'm trying to think of what else. I actually think I put it in the letter. But so we're responsible for a lot of infrastructure, and some of it is aged. So, and we don't have an HVAC person on staff.
And what are the invoices and the bids or the quotes that you have now? What are they for?
They're for multiple buildings. I can read them off to you if you, the animal shelter. So Cooper Building, Animal Shelter, Station 2, Senior Center, Cooper, Fire Station 10, Fire Station 6, Police Station.
And these are all invoices or quotes for things that need to be done right now?
These are invoices for work that has been done. We need to pay them.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Speaking more generally, and I understand you might not have these types of figures on the top of your head, and I suppose some of it's a matter of interpretation. When it comes to these types of maintenance and repairs, not just as to this particular item, but thinking about trends when it comes to repairs and maintenance, are we tending to spend more on maintenance and repairs than we tend to have budgeted for in the budget that was prepared for this fiscal year?
We have not gone over budget. in regards to, so the cap on the bid is separate from the budget itself. So we are not over budget, but we are exceeding the cap on the bid.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions, comments from members of this council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. We are now at the part of the bid package. Oh, correction. May I have a motion on former bid 2024-080 that is now PCR 27-24 to amend?
Move favorable action on the amendment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
May I have a motion on PCR 27-24 as amended?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We are now at the part where I am going to ask members of this committee, members of the council, and members of the public if there is any bid within the bid package they would like to identify to be discussed. I will begin while my colleagues look. I'd like to, per request of the department, bid 2024-010, found on page 25, HVAC services for Thayer Warburton Arenas. That is item number 5. Thank you. Are there any items that members of this committee would like to?
I'm good.
Thank you.
Let's do number 7.
Roger. Councilman Gebhardt requests bid 2024-416, found on page 35. That is item number 7. It is purchase of 200 water pitchers and filters. Councilman Gebhardt requests item number 10, bid 2024-331, TBW Sleepy Hollow Tennis Courts Improvement. That is found on page 60. Thank you, Councilman. I will now move to my colleagues in the council. Are there any items that members of the council would like to pull for discussion? Councilman Lattisor.
Item number 4, 2020-162, found on page 15.
Councilman Lattisor requests item number 4, bid 2020-162, State of Rhode Island Facilities Maintenance and Repair and Operations Industrial Supplies, found on page 15.
Yes,
thank you.
That's it.
Thank you, Councilman. So we'll go in order as per usual, and we will start with item number 4, bid 2020-162, State of Rhode Island Facilities Maintenance and Repair and Operations Industrial Supplies. This is found on page 15 in your bid packet. Good evening, Christy. Welcome back.
Good evening. Christy Moretti, Public Works.
Councilman, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Christy. Christy, this is another item that the original request is, or this is almost 60% higher than your original budget request. And the same question goes to this. Why is this so far off?
It's so this bid actually originated in 2019. So we've just been requesting to increase the cap as we need to, since the state has it's a state bid. So we run concurrent with the state MPA expiration date. So last year it was extended until June of 24. We requested an increase at that time, probably, I don't know if it says it here. Last year, $40,000, which we haven't completely expended, but we're coming close. We're probably around, have about $6,000 left. So in order to get to the expiration for anything that any of the divisions might need, we're asking for another $25,000. But again, I know it's $130,000 cap, but that started in 2019, so it's been 5 years.
And did you say did you use the $40,000 increase last year?
We used probably all but about $6,000.
Okay. And you are asking for an additional $15,000 for 3 months?
It's 25.
25, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the 15 below for 3 months.
Yes.
Because?
Well, we're coming into the season now where our tasks change. So we might have to buy certain equipment, shovels, rakes, you know, depending on how much they are. We get a preferential price through Grainger. Just recently, we purchased, ARPA purchase for Councilman Foley and his ward, which was about $7,000. So a lot of it's not just for, you know, the department needs. Mm-hmm. It's for other things as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Further questions from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Christy. The next item will be item number 5, bid 2024-010, HVAC services for Thayer Warburton Arenas. Christy, you requested that I reserve this so it could be amended.
Yes, I'm going to request an amendment on this one as well for an additional $15,000 in spending authority.
Thank you. May I have a PCR, please? Repeat, please. Thank you so much. So PCR 2824 is formerly bid 2024-010. Correction, 2024-010. Thank you. Chrissy?
The reason we're requesting is I had two invoices, and then I received a third one at 3:30 this afternoon. So the total outstanding invoices we have with this vendor right now is $15,132.48. So with that being said, if I didn't request an amendment, then I would be back here on April 1st requesting another amendment, requesting another increase. So so I'd like to increase it another $15,000, knowing that we still have service calls that we're going to have to pay for. I actually had one this morning because the power went out last night. Mm-hmm. There was a power outage, and unfortunately, the rink was part of that. So when that happens, we have to have our compressors turned back on by this company just to ensure that if the compressor was running when the power went out, you know, there's a chance we could have lost refrigerant, and it's a little complicated, but... anyway, that's the reason we're asking for $30,000 instead of $50,000.
More proactive than reactive.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Nope. Questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattisar.
Thank you, Chairman. So, Christy, on your previous bid, 2024-080, which you amended an additional $15,000 to $85,000, in your position paper that included the Thayer Warburton Arenas in that $85,000.
It does only for this. What this vendor does is specifically related to the compressor room at the ice arena. So they don't touch anything else. They don't touch any of our heaters. They don't touch any of our boilers. They don't do any mm-hmm. of that. It's specifically to the compressor room.
So if I remember correctly, I think over the past 8 months, 9 months, maybe a year, we have put, I don't even remember the number that we've put into these compressors and other components in that ice rink. And is it the same vendor over the past year or two that's been maintaining these items that we keep throwing all this money at? Is this still the same vendor?
Yes.
And are these new breakdowns or are these fixing the same breakdowns?
It's both, kind of. So when the refrigerant was, those systems were retrofitted with refrigerant, the compressors that we have are not, I don't really know how I want to say this. It's not that they're not they don't work as well as the original equipment that we had in there. We had R22, which obviously the EPA has phased out. So now we have R434A, which we can get. It's very expensive. That's what's in that system now, but the compressors have trouble skimming the oil off the refrigerant on the return. So with that, and there's a lot of, we've had leaks, you know, we've had pipes welded. We've had this company, I have to say, I understand probably, you know, you're thinking we've put a lot of money into this, but they have literally kept us frozen when we shouldn't have been. I call them at midnight because I get a phone call and they come right out and do what they need to do. So some of it is, you know, there's overtime rates involved there too. Weekends. Just last night I called them and said, hey, our power's out. We're going to need you to restart our compressors for us. And actually worked out better for us that they didn't come out. We just shut the compressors off and then they came out today on regular time. So, and that was their call. They said, you know, you'll be fine tonight, which I figured it was only going to be a few hours, but rather than do it on overtime, they came out on regular time. So this company has been, in my perspective, they've been amazing to us as far as service and keeping our equipment running. It's 21 years old, so it's tired.
Well, yeah, it appears to me that for a long time now, we've been just throwing thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars at these compressors, at the refrigerants and whatever else is encompassing of that section of equipment to keep making ice. It's just difficult for me to comprehend why we keep throwing the amounts of monies at this thing that we are. Has anyone requested a complete overview of this equipment and what the cost would be to replace it once and be done with it? Because this type of system for doing these things, you know, fix it as it breaks and just keep throwing thousands and thousands of dollars at it, it's difficult for me to understand that. And then it becomes more difficult for me to understand how are we going to keep up with another ice rink if we can't keep up with this ice rink.
Well, I can't.
Has anyone asked for that type of inspection and review of that complete equipment?
So back when Mayor Picozzi took office, and we were having issues with that particular compressor room, he tasked Public Works with making sure it was going to run efficiently. So the company that was on contract at that time was not doing the city any favors. They were not doing preventative maintenance. They weren't doing a lot of things that they should have been doing. I asked this company to come in because they were familiar with our system from the day it was installed. They gave the whole thing an evaluation, and yes, we did spend a lot of money fixing that as much as we could, but there was some level of neglect for a few years. And we're not finished yet. I can tell you that there's still more for us to do, but the things that we'd like to do are more proactive than reactive. We just had to have a whole compressor replaced on the Thayer chiller because it literally imploded while it was running, which I can sure, as you imagine, it probably sent, which it very likely did, nothing detrimental, but sent pieces of metal through the system, which is never good. So, you know, they run independently. Thayer has their own chiller. Webrant has its own chiller. But at the end of the day, they're in the same room and they're twins. So as you can imagine, when something happens to one of them, you almost expect it to happen to the other. I got to be honest, I've had many late night phone calls. I've had many nights where I've had to go to the rink because there's a problem. This is what we do. It's not, you know, it's not something that I look forward to either, but this is what we have to do to stay frozen.
No, I understand that, and I can appreciate, you know, the effort that is being put into this. I can also appreciate the amount of monies that's going into it. Now, you said that prior to Mayor Picozzi taking over, that the company that was servicing this unit had been, let's say, performing less than an acceptable manner. How long had that been going on before somebody finally said, you know what, out the door?
I don't really know, because at that time it wasn't under the purview of Public Works.
It was
our responsibility up until
under Parks and Recs,
up until it went to Parks and Recreation, and then when Mayor Picozzi took office, it came back to us. So I can't speak to the time where we didn't have the oversight of the facility. I can only tell you what we've done since we've had to take that over.
Fair enough. And did you ever get an estimate as to what it would cost to replace all of this stuff at one time, instead of keep feeding more money into it and more money into it and more money into it? And by the way, over the last couple of years, as we know, the costs have increased significantly for doing these repairs. Did you ever get a number on that?
Nothing formal. We've had some discussions with the tech. There's one tech basically that's assigned to our facility. Usually when I call them up and say, you know, who I am and where I'm from, they say, okay, I'll call, you know, so-and-so, because he knows the ins and outs of the facility. So I actually talked with him this morning even, and he said, you know, I'd love to get you guys on the system that's, you know, basically you just have to check it out. And then in 10 years is when it's due for maintenance, he said, but it's millions. And we just don't have that kind of money. So we're doing what we can to make improvements for it to at least get us. I'm not really sure what kind of answer you're looking for. I don't have anything concrete to give you, but we're doing the best that we can to make sure that the facility stays operational. Unfortunately, I mean, we have a lot of people that depend on that for their recreational activities and tournaments and skating shows and public skate and all that stuff. So I believe me, I've been, you know, I get the estimates and my jaw drops to the floor and I'm like, oh my God, here we go again. But.
Well, now you just made me think of something else, because the COVID money, it's intended for like a one-time thing, right? One-time, whatever it is, but it's a one-time. So perhaps it might be something for whomever to think about assigning some of the remaining COVID money to this ice rink and get that problem that you deal with, it seems like on a regular basis, done once and for all. Just a suggestion. I'm not looking for a comment or an answer. Just a suggestion on a one-time influx of the remaining, a portion of the remaining COVID's money to fix this rascal once and for all before we go into another venue that could create other maintenance issues over time. Thank you, Chairman. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Chrissy. Are there any other questions, comments from members of the council? Or I apologize, member of this committee? Question, comments from members of the public? Thank you. May I have a motion? This is now PCR 28-24. This is to increase the original bid from 15 to 30,000. May I have a motion to amend?
Motion for favorable action on amendment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 May I have a motion as amended?
Motion favorable action.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The next item we will discuss is item number 7. This is requested by Councilman Gebhardt. This is 2024-416, purchase of 200 water pitchers and filters. This is found on page 35. Good evening, Director. Please identify, and then Councilman Gebhardt, you have the floor.
Terry DiPetrillo, Chief of Water. Good evening. So let me start off by saying I made a slight mistake back in, I believe it was December. The EPA mandated these water pitcher filters. It's going into law October 1st, 2024. we tried to get ahead of it. We've been ahead of this whole lead program for the past 2 years, and a lot of communities in the state are using us because we're so far ahead of everybody. So my thought process was every water division, every water department in this country is going to be mandated by these water pitchers. So let's get it while we can get it. So we put out a bid for these water pitchers. I brought it to the floor a little too quickly. After I brought it to the floor and you guys voted on it and approved it, then I sent the paperwork to the state, and the state said, nope, this company does not meet your bid specs and we will not accept it. So we went back out to bid, and Zero Water come back, and I sent that information to the state, and they approved that. So it has to remove lead. Once you touch a lead pipe, they require water filters. So we're requesting a 56-6 to purchase these water filters from Zero Water. Like I said, we originally awarded this purchase under that last bid, but they were not approved. And you know, we're asking to rescind that one. The Zero Water pitchers are approved by the EPA and the Department of Health to reduce the lead content. This purchase is necessary to provide a vessel for safe drinking water to residents who still have lead connection at the street. These services will be changed over. There is a mandate that from the EPA that requires this department to provide those services to this for these filter drinking water contaminants that may enter the water line when the service is replaced. Right now we have a known 167 and maybe possibly 58 that we're still investigating. That being said, we're in very good shape compared to other communities. Over the years, when I first started here 27 years ago, we had 800 to 1,000 services, but we've been, you know, being proactive over the years, replacing those on our own. It's a nationwide mandate by the EPA. So the water division is requesting now to make this purchase. And these filters are actually cheaper than the Soma water filters that got denied. But in the meantime, this is not a law yet. This is just a recommendation. So the EPA changing the rules daily. And I might be back before you again when they change the law again. So now they required two extra cartridges to supply the homeowner with. So that's why the prices. So the last bid was for $6,500, and it's up to $8,400 roughly. But that's because of the cartridges. So the pitchers are cheaper, they're better, they're bigger, they're actually double the size for the homeowner. So when I say pitchers, it's like a Brita pitcher. You fill it with water, it goes through the charcoal filter, and it takes out the impurities.
Okay, great. Thank you. You mentioned the 167 known connections and the potential 58, and then you talk about those being changed over. Is there a timeline for when that work will happen?
That bid should roll out this week, and we got approved by the EPA to award it to multiple contractors to beat the deadline. The EPA deadline is October 24, and then a whole bunch of other set of rules will follow if lead services ain't changed over. So 2 years ago, we were very proactive. When the new law came out, we studied it. We did an audit of every suspected or known, and we identified, and we're in pretty good shape. It's going to be under 200. I don't think the LF58 is going to be there, but we'll make sure. But we are going to meet that mandate to save the city money and you know, keep the residents safe, free from lead. Because as you know, you're going to be watching news, lead's a big thing, you know, since Flint, Michigan.
All right, got it. And how do the pitchers get distributed to the residents?
So when we go to your home, we will bring that pitcher with us. We will give you instructions, and we'll tell you exactly, you know what to do.
Oh, so this coincides with the replacement?
That's correct.
Got it. And there's no risk currently for those residents who don't have these in place, or
it's once you disturb the lead. So lead laying by itself, just like paint on a windowsill, it's okay there. You know, you can't touch it. Don't put it in your mouth, you know. So once you disturb that lead, you know, during construction, impurity is going to break off. And that's what we're trying to recapture. So we're going to put a new line in, but the added addition of safety are these lead pitchers where you can drink from.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Questions from the committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Is it only residences that are being affected by this, or are there also any commercial properties or municipal-owned properties that are being affected?
So we identified some commercial properties, but mostly on Post Road, because the state is going to be repaving that. So instead of having contractors do those, we've already completed those. So all the commercial buildings are done. Now this is just residences, and it's mostly the North End, the Norwood area, your area, Patuxent area, Ward 1, the older part of the city.
And specifically, do the residents currently know, have they received any notification at this time?
Yeah, so they received notification probably about a year ago, year and a half ago, to help them identify, and we also put it on the website.
Director, if you could talk into the microphone.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
About a year and a half ago, every resident of a suspected or known lead service, they received a letter. They contacted us. We've made contact with every single resident. We gave them instructions on the website or over the phone on how to see if your service is lead. It's called the scratch test. Because most people just looking at a pipe, you don't know what it is. But if they had trouble identifying it, we made an appointment and we entered the homes and, you know, yes, so they have received. And we have information on the website also.
Oh, good. And would you be able to, especially since it seems to be in areas that may in part overlap with Ward 2, would you be able to email me a list of affected streets, more or less?
First thing in the morning.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other further questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Director. Councilman, could you just point out on the water pitchers, because of the larger size that you're getting, and there may be some other reasons, could you point out to everybody what the savings is that you've attained with those?
Yeah, so the savings is $2,700, but if you look at my packet, it looks like it's more expensive, because that's because it kind of worked out well that we're doing this, because in the meantime, when we rejected this bid, we read a new law that they're requiring not just pitchers, but replacement filters also. So the actual pitchers itself was saving $2,700, but now it has increased to $4,600 for cartridges. So cartridges is actually more than the pitchers themselves. So the total asking price is $83,96.60.
But that increase was because the vendor we approved didn't meet specs.
No, it's because the EPA changed its goalpost again. And like I said, I'm going to be back before you again, because as there's new laws rolling out by October, right now it's just its recommendations. So the federal government is, you know, always, you know, adding things on. So right now, you know, if we're awarded this $83,96.60 to purchase the 200 filters and the 400 cartridges, we're meeting their requirements right now. So with that addition of the filters, so I could have came back to you tonight if the EPA didn't change their mandate. Was $6,500 for the SOMO filters that weren't approved. Without the cartridges, it would have been $3,800 for the better filters, pitchers. But now adding that new law about the cartridges, that's why it comes out to $83.96.
But the original vendor, their items didn't meet the approval.
That's correct.
Which is why you had to get a new company.
Yeah, so I don't have to top off my head, because there's a lot of codes, and I think it's ANSI and NSAI 53 and 42. They met those requirements, but they did not meet the lead requirement. Those filters do not remove lead.
And isn't the whole purpose of doing these things is because of the lead?
Right. So in our bid, it said it, you know, filters to remove lead. We got the bid back. They said they did. I came to the floor, well, probably prematurely. You awarded it. I should have sent my recommendation to the state first. I did not. I just felt like I was under the gun. I just wanted to get this done. I did do my due diligence and have the state approve it, so we're not spending money to waste. They denied it. We rejected the bid, and we moved on to the next company.
Well, at least you caught it in time.
Correct.
And, you know, I would think that if someone is bidding on this item and they know the purpose is to remove lead,
I agree,
it would meet that purpose. Also, I know we had a conversation earlier regarding the purchase order, and you had indicated that purchase order has been canceled.
Correct.
And
yes, it has.
Nothing on our end.
We owe that company no money at all. No?
Thank you. I'm all set, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions, comments from members of this council? Are there questions, comments from members of the public? Please. Please identify the name when you have the microphone.
Sergeant James Torres, U.S. Army retired, 4080 Post Road. I just have two questions. Has there been any like reported lead poisoning from these areas, and like how do we monitor that?
Director.
So there has been no lead poisonings. So we test water every single day for any impurities whatsoever. We have 8 stations that we go to. We are heavily monitored by the Department of Health with that testing. Right. So anytime something comes up, the lab calls me, they call the state, will call me. There has been no problems with lead in the city of Warwick.
The second question is, you said that the announcement was made a year and a half ago. Will there be a current announcement so the residents are still informed? Because a year and a half is like...
Director?
Yes, absolutely. So it was about 2 years ago when the EPA started making this new mandate, this new law. So we dove into it. And we've been very proactive with the residents because this it's serious. And we've had a great response. I think we've talked to all 167 residences, and we're going to get them. As this bid comes out and we hire contractors, we are going to, you know, make phone calls and set up dates that we're going to replace the service with the residences. And, you know, we have a whole template of, you know, what to do, what not to do, what to expect. And the city, the water department is going to, we're the only city right now that we are going to pick up the tab for every single homeowner, full restoration of property, whether it's from the water main right to your water meter, or just from the water main to the curb stop, or just from the curb stop right to the home. Our goal is to, you know, other communities gave out low interest loans. We don't really qualify for that because you know, the low income communities do, and they get sued by the ACLU. And we're just going to spend $2.5 million out of water fund money, and let's eradicate this, be done with it, and keep everybody safe. And we don't have to meet after October 1st, 2024. We don't have to worry about the EPA's new mandates. We're good.
Okay. So are you guys still going to make another announcement just to keep people informed?
Director? Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. So as this program, as the bid goes out, I'm going to check with the administration and my bosses, you know, something in the Beacon. Also resend the letter once the bid's awarded that we're going to start rolling, doing construction, and hopefully end of April, May. We will send out another letter to the residents and saying, here we are, let's go, let's get it done. Yes,
sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Any other questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
The final item on the bid packet today is item number 10. That was requested by Councilman Gebhardt. It is 2024-331 Sleepy Hollow Tennis Court Improvements. This is found on page 60. Councilman.
Should be a quick one. I saw, so there's just a typo in the last amount. So obviously we'll approve this very small adjustment. Any update on timing when this might start?
Well, once we get this squared away, we can issue the purchase order. So once that happens, they'll coordinate with the vendor and we'll get going.
Got it. Okay. All right. So this didn't hold up the purchase order for a little bit of time.
It did, just because there was a mistake on the resolution when it got approved. The numbers were backwards. So this, what we asked for in our letter was actually correct, but the numbers were transposed on the resolution. So in order to, it's just a housekeeping issue to correct it.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
And just for clarification, with the, from the conversation, no amendment is needed on this committee right now.
No.
You're speaking of the actual bid before us right now.
Yes.
Right.
This is just a 612 to the, what was presented last time.
Understood. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to put it on the record that the night I filled in for Bill Foley in the finance, I caught the mistake and I asked that we should correct it. I thought we should have corrected that night because we had everybody here. And I don't know why we had to hold it, because now look, we held up time and it didn't get done. And it was just a simple figuring out which one was right. I knew it was 850, 69, 850. But I just don't know why we didn't correct it that night. I just wanted to be put on the record.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? May I have a motion on PCR 26-24?
Move favorable action.
I have a motion. May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The time is now 5:51 and the finance committee is closed.
The next committee to meet is the intergovernmental committee, and that can start at 6:20. So we will see you back here at 6:20.
It is now 6:22 and the intergovernmental committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on March 4th, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a favorable and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The first item on the agenda is PCR 20-24, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to enact legislation exempting from taxation the real property and the tangible personal property of the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Councilman Snappy.
Two quick things. One, Councilman Lattiser brought something to my attention after last meeting. So I didn't realize at the time he was not actually here when we discussed the prior resolution, the one that was for the Center for Mediation. So any comments in reference to our prior action, it should be noted that they do not apply to him because he, I wasn't here, so they should not be attributed to him in any way in that regard. The second thing is just a question of if we have the fiscal note for that, because if so, we can discuss it. If not, it's basically automatically held still. I wasn't provided a fiscal note, but I don't know if we have one elsewise.
Any comments from the committee? Come on. Any comments or questions from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. Chairman, to speak to Councilman Sinappi's comments, I have not received a fiscal note. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Okay. Yeah, so if we don't have a fiscal note, it gets automatically held regardless of my desires on this one.
Okay, we will hold this until yes, Chief.
Evening, Chairman. Just a note on the fiscal note. Assessor Dupuy has been working with the coalition as well as the property owner to receive certain information that he needs to produce that fiscal note. The property owner sent it over to the assessor today. So once he's had a chance to go through that information, he'll be able to provide the proper fiscal note.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilman Ricks.
That addressed my question. No further comment. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? Okay. You have a motion to hold it?
So moved.
When do you think you would have it available to the next meeting?
Yes.
April 1st. Hold to April 1st.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The second item on the agenda is PCR 18-24, a resolution respectfully requesting the Rhode Island Board of Elections to review methods to enhance election fairness and security, including transparency in the certification of election ballots. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as probably all recall, during the last election, we had a serious error that took place with the ballot, and it happened to involve me. It could have involved any one of us. It could have involved anyone at the General Assembly. So in any event, what occurred was the director in the Board of Canvassers was the sole person who was overseeing these ballot items. There was at least three opportunities to catch an error, perhaps even four, where an individual pulled his walking papers but never turned in the signatures, didn't turn in one signature, let alone close to or 50, never turned in any signatures. So with the sole approval of that one individual, this ballot showing this person, or these documents showing this person as having qualified to be on the ballot, was submitted to the state. The state received it, did whatever they had to do, sent it back to Warwick, which is normal procedure, with at least two other items that had to be confirmed regarding the qualifications of the people to be on the ballot. Once again, it was approved, signed off, and sent back to the state. Several days before the election, I think it was like 3 or 4 days before the election, it came to my attention that there was an opponent on the ballot in my ward. I had called the state immediately. They were not aware of it. It was confirmed. I notified right after that the Board of Canvassers here, and that was in fact confirmed that this took place. I ended up having two meetings at the State Board of Elections regarding this matter. And during that first meeting, there was a lot of discussion. No one from the Board of Canvassers here in Warwick attended that meeting. And the board was clearly and on the record upset with what took place and how that type of an error occurred, and they were certainly committed to do what they could to correct that mistake at that time.
So short of pulling the machines back in and changing everything around, that didn't seem to be an option. So there were notification things that had to be put in at the different polling locations, which there are three in my ward, and the election went forward. So fast forward to what we have here today. I'm asking for support on this resolution to send it to the State Board of Elections to ask them for their oversight and their direction in coming up with the checks and balances so this type of error doesn't occur again, so that only one person is not allowed to review the qualifications of a proposed candidate, so that more than just one person in that office, perhaps outside of the office as well, in addition to checks and balances that the state is already working on doing on their end to ensure that these type of errors on that. From what's my understanding is, this isn't something that we here as a city council have control on and can do an ordinance requiring any type of that procedural aspect to the Board of Canvassers. So it's something that needs to go to the state. So that's what it does. It's sending this up to the state and asking for them to come up with the checks and balances, so to speak, so that type of error doesn't happen to any of you or anyone else in any of these election proceedings. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments from the committee? Questions or comments from the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. It was pretty shocking, I think, to all of us that that kind of error happened and that ballots were actually printed in that manner with that error, and that nothing could be done about it at that point in time. Here, it wasn't of great consequence because our colleague was running unopposed. But one can only imagine that if this were to happen in a race where there were two candidates and then a third candidate gets put on that general ballot, and say that third candidate were to receive more votes than the difference between the votes of those other two candidates, there would be questions about the legitimacy of an election like that. Or other types of printing errors could happen too. Let's say that the wrong party affiliation was put down next to a candidate's name. There needs to be a check and balance to address any type of these kinds of concerns, whether that's a matter of having an additional person independently review this instead of, well, either a matter of someone rubber stamping without looking too closely, or a matter of somebody having a blind spot. I think we've all had that in life where we take a look at a document, we don't notice an obvious typo, and we just keep reading on. It's something very human, could happen very much innocently. But in any case, that's why with a document as important as the draft election ballots, perhaps a second person should be taking a look at these things, verifying all of that information before it actually goes to the printer and it's too late. There could be different processes here too. That's not really our job to go and tell the state exactly how to fix this problem. I think that it's very appropriate for us to formally bring this to that state level and tell them, this is a problem. We don't know exactly how to fix it. We can have some suggestions on how to fix it, but we're not going to tell you precisely what you must do. Your job is to figure out how to fix the problem. We just need to bring this problem to your attention formally, and we can put some options out there too. Another option, aside from just having a second person in that particular office or second person independently reviewing it, is perhaps these draft ballots should go out to the general public well before they go out to the printer, such that any member of the public could catch some of these typos. Anyone with an interest in the elections, which really is all of us. One way or another, it's something that the state really needs to look into and address so that this sort of issue doesn't happen again. That's all. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I may add, I neglected to say one other very important thing. With what occurred, it was also a grave injustice to the voters. And the voters, I think we all realize, voters, it's not the easiest thing in the world sometimes to get everyone out to the polls to vote for a whole lot of reasons. And I believe that at least one of those reasons is that the voters, they don't have all the faith and confidence in the process. And this type of a thing just further exasperates the issue. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of things. And it's not just about someone being on the ballot against me or you. It's about what impact this has on the entire voting process. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
And I would invite anyone that would like to co-sponsor as well, please.
Okay, I'm going to add it. Co-sponsor. Okay. Do you get those? Cool. 2 and 6. Questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Oh, have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I couldn't see or hear everybody. Who were the co-sponsors?
2 and 6.
Two of us. Thank you.
It is now 6:37 and Intergovernmental Committee is adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will start the full City Council meeting at 7 p.m. There is public comment, so if anyone is interested, you can sign up at the podium for public comment, which will be at the beginning of the meeting, which starts at 7 p.m. So we'll see everybody back here at 7 o'clock.